You know how a lot of people really like salted caramel? That sweet, rich caramel flavor, that bite of the salt, and come on, if you like it, you know you like it with a little extra salt, don't you? Of course you do. And that's why you listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. He is the sweet and salty treat of the podcasting world, with a little extra saltiness. It's an acquired taste. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hello, thanks for coming. Make yourselves comfortable, take your pants off. Here we go. Hey, it's Friday and the weekend. It's what you lived for. Pathetically so. It's unfortunate Monday through Friday doesn't work for you and only the weekend is your only salvation. That's upsetting in itself. But don't worry, we're going to have a good time today. He said knowingly, assuming that that will be the case. How many people during the course of your day ask you how you are? Nobody. Listen to this. Hey, how are you? Huh? That's for me. Yeah, it's true. I've talked about this before. Unlike Mr. Rogers, who when he gets home immediately hangs up his coat, takes his shoes off and puts sneakers on instead, and puts a nice comfortable sweater on, unlike Mr. Rogers, when I get home, I immediately take my pants off. Is it me? Yes, it is. Fade out on the music. That'll be enough. Thank you. Welcome to the show. If you've never been here before, this will cost you a lot of money. This is $2,000 per episode. If you've been here before, it's free. Okay? That's just for the future. All right. Let's get started here. There's a lot of things that I could talk about that would totally depress me right now. One would be the economy and the stock market. That would be depressing. The coronavirus, don't even go there. That would be quite depressing and fearful. The political front, not so bad necessarily if you consider who's still in the White House, not able to handle a particular epidemic pandemic by lying about things. That's concerning. I won't talk about that either. So, Ron, what are you going to talk about today? Things that are frivolous. Things that we all go through that really bother the hell out of us. And let me get started. No, I'll go first. No, please let me go first. Thank you very much. I went shopping to my nearby supermarket, which is an advisable thing to do when you want to go shopping. And I go into them. All supermarkets do this, and it started to bug me. I don't have 10 people in my family that live with me. Thank God. I go to Costco just for fun to eat the free samples, which actually, just eating the free samples, I put on like 200 pounds right now. There's nothing in Costco that I can buy because I don't have 10 people living with me. I don't need a box of cereal bigger than my bedroom. By the time I open the box, it'll be stale within 3 days because I don't have that many people in my house to feed. I don't know who does. When I go to Costco and I see other families shopping, I don't get the impression that they have 10 family members. It looks like just two people who look as similarly lost as I do. I have no reason to buy 10 pounds of salmon in one package. There's no reason for that. I don't own a restaurant. What am I doing there? It's just a, come on, man. I don't need a 5-pound tub of yogurt. I can't eat that much yogurt. If I had some type of strange sexual fetish, perhaps I could go through 5 pounds of yogurt in one sitting. But I don't have that sexual fetish, and neither does my partner. So that doesn't work for me. The stuff's going to go bad anyway. I don't even have a refrigerator big enough to put this food into. Why is it that everybody that goes into Costco figures, oh, I'll just look around, and then they end up in the checkout line, and it's over $400. And then you put the stuff in the car, and then you realize, I don't need this stuff. What happened? What just happened? Why did I buy all this stuff? Why do I have batteries to last me 10 years? What's wrong with me? Anyway, so I go to my local supermarket. Don't worry, I'm getting to it. Just don't worry about it. I get to my local supermarket, and they've got a sale. Ooh, big sign on the window. Ground beef, 93%. I don't know what the other 7% is. Chicken? No, it's 93% fat-free kind of stuff, and 7% fat, that's what it is. And that's lean. That's what you call lean meat. That's lean meat. So I figure, oh, cool, I'll buy a pound of this. I'll make some hamburgers, and we'll be good. Or I'll use it for some ground beef there, and I'll put it in a sauce or something like that. I'll have some spaghetti tonight. You know what? What the hell? What the hell? So I walk in there, and I go to the meat department, and I'm seeing, and this is what pisses me off. I'm seeing that the ground beef, 93% lean, is only $3.25 a pound. But you have to buy 3 pounds or more. So all the packages are 3 pounds of ground beef. Let me tell you something. I can't consume 3 pounds of ground beef with an expiration date of tomorrow. I don't need 3 pounds of ground. What are you trying to do to me? 3 pounds of ground beef? I'm not having a cookout. So then I figure, well, I'll just look over here in this other case, and I'll just get a pound, maybe 3/4 of a pound, maybe just a little over a pound if I feel crazy. That's $7.49 a pound. Wait a minute. Hold on now. If I just want a pound of it, it's over $7 a pound. If I want 3 pounds of it, it's just over $3 a pound. What kind of math is this? This is the same beef, right? Yes. So I go, they have a little butcher section where they have the butchers. How do you know a butcher? Blood all over his apron. It was a guy. Blood all over his apron. I don't know what the hell he's doing back there. I is he killing animals? What is he doing in the back that he's got blood all over his apron? It's not fresh red blood, so I don't think he's bleeding. It looks like blood that's been there like for a long time. Just a little tip for butchers: change your apron. Hey, you know, every day you come into work, put a new apron on, put the other one in the laundry. Everybody's happy. You don't have to come out from behind with blood, dried blood all over your apron. I get it. You're a butcher. Is that your uniform? Do they sell them like that? I gotta have dry blood on my apron, otherwise they wouldn't know I'm a butcher. Yeah. They know, believe me, they know. So I call him over and I say, Butcher, wouldn't that be funny if his name was Butch? Butch the Butcher? Ooh. I say, hey, Butcher, I don't understand something here. If I buy about a three-pound package of this meat here, it's just over $3. If I get this 1-pound package, it's $7. What's the difference? And here's what he says, and I couldn't believe he answered me this way. There's no difference except the packaging. Einstein just walked into the building. What do I expect from a guy with blood on his apron? I said, okay, thank you very much. Okay, thank you. And that pissed me off. And it's similar to the Costco thing. Why is it that I have to buy so much to get a lesser price? If I buy more, I should be paying more. It's called food waste because most people that go to Costco end up throwing away half of the food that they bought like a month previous. And you know it's true. You know it's true. We're horrible in this country as far as food is concerned. We should be rewarded for getting small quantities of food. There should be gold stars on your head by now. I got a gold star on my head. I only ate 1 pound of beef yesterday. Congratulations, Bobby. Good boy. 3 pounds of beef at once. Here's a little bit of a tip for you. Just a little tip. It serves you no purpose to get 3 pounds of meat in one package. Because here's the alternative, and you won't believe this is possible. You can walk into a store and get 3 1-pound packages of ground beef. Did you ever think that you could do that? So big families, it doesn't take up any more space. Just buy 3 or 4 packages of beef. Why are you screwing people like me who don't want 3 pounds of beef in one package? Now, as I say this, I can't believe I'm spending time on this, but it's an example of how I'm being manipulated by society when there's absolutely no reason for it. If I want 3 pounds of ground beef, I'll buy three 1-pound packages, and it'll be just fine. And that way, the option's open for everybody. I mean, I should have run for president on the 3-pound package of ground beef theory. You know, I think I would have done very, very well. Try to oversell me. Stop trying to oversell me. Always trying to oversell me. Whenever I go onto Amazon or I call up a place to order something, you know, because I don't do online purchases too much because it's too much going on there. Too much clicking. I call in my orders. I like to hear people's voices. It's just a thing. When I order something online or on the telephone, it never fails. The person will always say, would you like two of them? Would you like? And we also have a holder for your item. Would you like to buy the holder? I said, look, you don't understand. This is not. Let's make a deal. I want to buy the thing. I think I talked about this yesterday. I'm not sure because my memory's starting to go. But I talked about drive-ins, fast food drive-ins. I can't order anything without the person in the speaker trying to sell me more stuff, upselling me on donuts. God. Yeah, I like, can I have a large coffee, please? A large hot coffee, please? Okay, do you want a donut with that? Did I ask for a donut, bozo? If I wanted a donut with it, I would have asked for a donut. Can I have a Big Mac, please? Please, so that I can kill myself. One Big Mac, please. Okay, do you want fries with that? Did I ask for fries? What are you trying to do here? Are you trying to upsell me on a hamburger? What? What are you doing? Get a life, man. It's just like buying a car. I like to buy that Ford F-150 truck. Okay, fine. Do you want the floor mats with that for another $300? I don't want floor. If I wanted floor mats, all right. I know that's a job. It's part of a job is to upsell. That's what marketing is. I get it. I'm just being sick of being upsold on everything. Got a call yesterday at my home. I actually have a home phone. I know. Yeah, how old am I? I think I have to explain to millennials that there was once such a thing as a home phone. Yeah, I know. It was attached to the wall and stuff, and you plugged it in. What, Ron, how old are you? I know. I get it. So I get a call on my home phone, and I answer the phone sheepishly, like a sheep. And there's this girl on the other end of the phone. It wasn't a robocall, so I ensued into conversation, thinking that perhaps sex was the end of the line in this conversation. Of course, it never is. And she says to me, I'm Betty, immediately introduces herself. I didn't introduce myself because I didn't think it was appropriate. My wife's sitting right next to me on the couch. I mean, seriously, horrible time to form relationships. She says, hi, I'm Betty. I'm with the State Coalition of Solar Panels. Did you know that solar panels on your house, you can save 40 to 50% of your electric bill? I said, oh, I see. I don't have any part of my roof that faces south. And she says, well, that used to be the case. Now solar panels can go on any part of your roof facing in any direction, and you'll still get efficient solar energy. And she said, and there's no out-of-pocket expenses. I said, what do you mean by out-of-pocket expenses? She says, expenses out of your pocket, moron. She says, you don't have to pay a cent. I said, oh, so this is all free and that's it. Yeah, she said, the only thing you have to pay is the solar bill on a monthly basis. I said, okay, I have no electric bill, you mean? Well, I didn't say that. Okay, look, just get off the phone and go talk to somebody else. You're confusing the hell out of me. But immediately, she wants to send somebody to my home. I don't know if this is a foreign exchange program, or she wants to send somebody to my home to go through my home and tell me how solar energy would help, where the solar panels are, work out the details with me. She says, but it's fine. We're just looking at the home. You don't have to sign anything, no commitment, no contract. We just want to sit down and talk to you and look at your home and see where the valuables are, where you keep your jewelry, where your bank statements are, how we can break into the home if you're not there. That's all we want to do. That's all. We want to just scout out your home and see if you have any keys under any rocks or whether you crack any windows open when you go on vacation. That's all we want to do. That's all we want to do. You want to just come into your home and maybe take a nap if you don't mind. I assume you have plenty of ground beef left over. We can make a sandwich. That's all. I just want to come into your home. Let's make an appointment. How about like in 10 minutes?
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel in the schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
I wonder if the people at the Corona Beer Company there, you know, that Corona beer, you stick a lime in it, I believe. I'm not into beer too much. I wonder if they've said to themselves recently, maybe we should change the name of our beer. That coronavirus? Yesterday, I walked into a cocktail lounge to have a cocktail. And I'm sitting there sipping on my cocktail. And this guy comes in and he walks up to the bartender. And the bartender says, hi, what can I get for you? And he says, a Corona. And my immediate reaction was, ooh, wait a minute, that's a virus. That's a freaking virus right now. That's like big stuff. Don't walk in and say Corona. We're all going to hit the deck and put our hazmat suits on. So perhaps the connotation, maybe the beer company should change, because I don't think the virus is going to change its name now. That's too popular a name for this virus. So the beer company should like think twice about this. Change your name quickly. I had the same feeling. Remember this guy, Jared, who was the spokesperson for Subway? Not the Subway that you, the train, but I'm talking about the sub shop place, you know, where eat fresh, even though all the vegetables and the meats are sitting on the counter for 6 hours. So Jared was a spokesperson, who's a pudgy little fat shit, and what happened was apparently he ate a turkey Subway sub like once a day, and he lost all this weight, and he was the spokesperson, never claiming that eating Subway food was going to make you lose weight. It was just never said, but it was certainly implied. Then we find out that Jared, the spokesperson for Subway, the big poster child for the freshness of Subway, we find out that he's a child molester and that he stalks young children for sexual pleasure. And he's arrested and jailed accordingly. And all of a sudden, for some reason, Jared's no longer on television. And I thought, oh my God, that's like not good for Subway. You might as well change your name to Corona. Then I'm driving down the street shortly after that, and I see this gigantic jewelry store, and it's called Jared's. And I thought, ooh, you should change that name quickly. It looks like the guy that goes after young children now has a jewelry store. This may not work for you. Well, apparently it did eventually. I have no idea where Jared, the child disgusting man, is. But I guess that kind of went away. So I don't know. Consider changing names is all I'm saying. It's just a tip. Small little tip from me to you. Oh, man. These are difficult times we're in right now. Don't kid yourself. These are difficult, difficult times. Difficult times. Oh, man. We got this corona thing getting worse all the time, taking the top spot in the news, and I don't proportionally know where it's supposed to be, but it's in the top spot, stock market tumbling accordingly. And then the guy in the White House is Donald Trump, who's the president who's supposed to be handling all of this. That's a bad combination. That's just a bad combination. I got the biggest liar I've ever met in my life, the biggest asshole, commandeering as president this virus thing, making up stuff. His latest comment was that, don't worry, the coronavirus will go away like a miracle. What? What does that mean? What does that mean? All right, that's enough. That's enough. I was better off talking about chopped meat, to be honest with you. All right, what are you going to do for the weekend, huh? You're going to sit around like a lazy bastard? There's nothing wrong with that. Don't let them tell you there's anything wrong with that. Medical reports have come out. I can't quote them. I'm just telling you. They've come out saying that when you're a sedentary, a lazy bastard, and you sit in a chair all day and just watch TV, that it's the equivalent of drinking a case of beer and and smoking two cases of cigarettes. I don't know. They're saying that sitting like a lazy bastard is extremely unhealthy for you. Let me tell you something. It's worked for me for decades and decades and decades. And while all of you are running your asses off in the gymnasium, touching everybody's sweat on the handlebars of the stationary bike, I'm sitting here as a lazy bastard, enjoying my life as I watch you sweat your balls off. It's a pastime of mine. I used to do this when I lived in New York City, when I was just a teenager. I remember walking by construction sites in Manhattan, and they had these little holes in the fences. They were solid fences, but they had little holes in there. And you could stick your face in, and you could watch the construction workers actually constructing buildings in these big pits. They're the foundation pits. They start to build skyscrapers. And I used to stand there for quite a period of time and just watch them work. And I said two things to myself. First, that's amazing to be able to watch them construct buildings like this. And secondly, I get off on watching people sweat. I get off on watching people work. Like, I'm going to sit here and you do everything for me, please. I know it's a highfalutin bad attitude. It's always worked for me to be a lazy bastard. I do it well. Can I do construction work? No. The building would fall down in 10 minutes as soon as somebody opened the door or the window. I'm not good at that. I'm not good at constructing anything. I can barely construct a sentence. Nouns, verbs, that's a lot. No, I'm not good at that. I'm not good at anything with my hands. I shouldn't be using my hands, except for one thing, and I can't talk about what that one thing is. No, I'm a certified lazy bastard. I remember having an argument with this young lady years ago. I remember arguments from years ago. And she was talking about how lazy she was. And I took offense to that. I said, no, you are not lazy. Compared to me, you're an amateur. I am lazier than you are, guaranteed. She says, no, you're not. I'm the queen of lazy. I am lazy. Nobody's lazier than I am. And I stood up and I said, hell, I am lazier. And we argued, and we argued, and then we both realized as we were arguing, that's not lazy. So we both just sat down and shut up, and we both became quickly lazy. I almost didn't win that argument because I was too pumped up, and I was arguing, and that's not lazy. Oh, man. I'm telling you. You know, you reach a certain age, and you know exactly who you are. I've talked about this before as well. When you're younger, you say this all the time, I have to find myself. I don't know where I am. I can't find myself. I need a GPS. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I want to be. I don't know what I want to be in life. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Where should I go? I'm nowhere. What contributions am I making to life? Who am I? I don't know who I am. I don't know what my road is. I don't know. I don't have a path. I knew my path was laziness as a child. I knew this. I enjoyed sitting down watching TV all day. I had no problem with that whatsoever. And I said to myself, this is comfortable, especially if I'm not wearing pants. And then I went through this. Who am I? Who am I? Where am I? What am I doing? Who am I? What am I doing with my life? Who am I? Who am I? And then when I hit about 45 or 50 years old, I knew who I was. I knew what I wanted and what I didn't want. I knew what I wanted to do and what I didn't want to do. I knew what made me happy and what made me sad. I knew. And I remember the day where I was just walking down the street for some reason, and I said, I'm very comfortable with myself. I know myself. There's no question anymore. By now, I have figured out what my road is and what it's not. It was a very comforting, I got to know myself. I shook my own hand. Well, I washed both my hands after that. By the way, I'm not shaking anybody's hand anymore. That's changed, at least for a period of time. I don't shake hands. I elbow bump, or I just kind of don't touch them at all anyway. As a matter of fact, I don't want to even be in breathing room of them anymore. But see, I spent my entire life avoiding people, and now it's paying off because it's so comfortable for me. You people who have gone through your whole life hugging people and shaking their hands and licking their faces, now what do? Now that you got to be careful not to do that because of this Corona beer thing. So, like, now you feel like, oh, this is odd for me. I can't touch anybody. Aha. For me, It's perfectly natural. I'm good. This worked out. And that's who I am. Have yourselves a wonderful day, a wonderful weekend. Until Monday, I wish you peace.